Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. Two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through parenthood. Hi, guys. Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We are so excited tonight. We have an amazing guest. Her name is Tagisti Weldab. She goes by T, though, so we'll be referring to her as T from now on, so I don't butcher it a million times.
You do good.
Tagisti holds a BA in international business, an MBA in social entrepreneurship, and most recently she's been all trained up in holistic nutrition and lifestyle coaching. She spent over 10 years in corporate America before launching Bella Diva Lifestyle. She's based in California but coaches clients all over the world. Her focus is coaching busy and ambitious women who strive to have it all.
Perfect for us.
I love it. In career, love life, motherhood, and having a healthy, stylish lifestyle. She wants to show women how to have a healthy and beautiful life on their own terms. Thank you for joining us,
yes.
T.
Yay.
Welcome.
Yay.
Yeah. We're so pumped. We want to hear everything. But first, of course, We have to thank
our sponsor,
our amazing sponsor. And this week's episode is sponsored by High-Waisted Swimsuit Bottoms.
Yay! And a swimsuit.
We love high-waisted swimsuit bottoms. Do you love them?
I do. I just did a giveaway on those last week.
When I wear high-waisted swimsuit bottoms, I feel like I can just let out like a little sigh of relief.
Yes, definitely.
Right?
I'm all for anything high-waisted. When those came back, I was like, yes, absolutely.
And they're
this
kind
is
of,
what I need.
They're kind of vintage looking, which I also like.
Yes, you feel like a little pinup.
Welcome to
And you don't have to be, completely covered like you would in a one piece, so you still feel like trendy.
Yes.
But you don't have to go. Full-blown.
Are you saying one pieces aren't trendy, Shaylee?
They're very trendy. I feel like once I go full one piece, then I'll never be able to go back. So I just have to pick.
That ship has sailed for me.
Pick and choose.
That ship has sailed.
Okay, we need some taglines.
Taglines. High-waisted swimsuit bottoms. What stretch marks?
Katie.
That's what I say.
Oh, man. Can't see them. If you can't see them, they're not there.
And they're not there.
Right.
Shaylee, you got one?
Oh, goodness. High-waisted swimsuit bottoms. They look really great until I sit down.
And then?
And then I have that little, like, little chunker roll that hangs off the top.
No!
That's normally the best part of my stomach, too, so I don't know how it happens, but, you know.
Darn it, it might be time for that one piece, Shaylee.
I know.
Thanks, high-waisted swimsuit bottoms!
Just generic high-waisted swimsuit bottoms.
Just all of them.
Sponsor.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so let's get into it. We're going to go over the basics. We want to know where you live, and if you don't mind, how old are you?
Absolutely. So I am 36.
And no way.
I'm almost 36. I'm going to be 36 December 14th.
Okay.
And I live in San Francisco Bay Area, be more specific, Oakland.
Okay.
You guys with Oakland?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it's over the bridge from San Francisco.
Oh, are you close to the Redwoods?
The Redwoods, not that far away. Yeah, it's, I would say, what, an hour plus? Yeah, so the Redwoods are kind of big, so there are close ones there, Eureka and those kind of places.
Very cool. Man.
I want to go there. And then where have you lived previously? Where are you from?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's a good question. So I was born in a country called Eritrea. It's in East Africa by the Red Sea, south of Egypt.
Wow.
But I left there when we left Eritrea when I was 3. So I actually spent a good chunk of my childhood in Sudan.
Wow.
Okay.
Girl.
When I was 11 and a half, we immigrated to Seattle. And so I call Seattle home away from home. So my childhood years basically were spent in Sudan in Seattle.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's quite the leap there.
Yes.
Hop over the ocean.
Yes, absolutely.
And we found you via our podcast site, but then when we started looking at your feed, we were like, oh, she's the coolest person in the world.
Yeah, and I didn't even know about all of your, like, international living. It just makes everything I find out is cooler and cooler.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. All right, well, we're going to get into the meat because I cannot wait to hear what you have to say about this topic, which is three things you need to do to reinvent yourself in your 30s.
Yes.
This is so exciting.
Tell us, reinvent us, T.
Okay. Okay. So I say in your 30s, obviously, because I am, and so are a lot of my clients and followers. But I'm going to say that you can really reinvent yourself at any stage. Definitely in your 30s, in your 40s. But the gist of it is that you know, most people think of like reinvention and starting something big when you're like young, you know, early 20s, college, high school. But what I found out is that definitely, at any stage, whether, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're in your career, midlife, it doesn't really matter. Even in retirement, you can really start, a big undertaking at any stage. And for me, and my truth has been that I did that in my 30s. So I'm going to be sharing that from my personal experience. So I did say that I would be sharing three things, and I'm going to be breaking them down by numbers.
Okay.
Okay.
So just we can, I guess, jump in and I can start sharing the first one.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Okay. So I would say that the first thing that is required, that it's like a must have, is that you have to have the courage to say that, you know, I'm going to do this. You know, whatever it is for you, whether it's your career, who you want to be as a person, you know, not all of us are born knowing like who we want to be. For instance, my husband is a physician, and he knew since he was 4 or 5 that he wanted to be a physician.
Yeah.
Awesome. I wish I was one of those people.
Right.
A lot of us are not. We come into who we are, into ourselves, into our dreams later in life, and that's okay. And also from coaching many, many women, at different stages, that a lot of them feel like, you know, I would love to do this or that, but I'm just kind of too old, or I'm too deep into my career, or I have kids to look after too. I just don't know if I have what it takes, you know, in me to do this. And, you know, after having been working together for a few months, you know, they discovered like, well, actually, no, I can't, because, you know, this is such an important part who I am, and I have so much life ahead of me that it's worth embarking on this journey. So the first one is absolutely courage. And you know, it doesn't get any easier. So, you know, in 5 years, in 10 years, you're going to look back and say, why didn't I start like last year or 5 years ago? I was a lot younger then. So
that's true.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier. So you might as well start now, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I promise you, you're going to wish that you'd already started. You know, I mean, the hardest part is obviously what it is that you wanted to reinvent to. But if you know it, you know, it's like, come to me, or go find your support system, find your people, your tribe, and get everything that you need. And push through that fear part, that whatever that scares you. And you know, what I discovered is once you have the courage to just say, that's it, I'm going to do this, it does get easier. It really does. So have the courage to do this for you and for everyone else that you love, that matters to you, that will be so proud of you, who would be cheering you on. And, you know, that has been, for me, you know, I didn't do it by myself, and I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think that I had what it takes, but having an amazing supportive husband, having a coach that, you know, did for me what I'm doing for other women now, has made all the difference. So courage is a big one, ladies. I would say do it now. Get started.
That's so good because even you're so right. The older we get, the more life just kind of speeds by. And so when people are like, oh, I'll think about it later, then you blink and it's been a year, or you blink and it's been 5 years, and then you have that whole other list of reasons why.
Yeah, yeah. It just, life just gets even more complicated, right? So it does not get any less complicated. So if, you know, if you think your life is difficult now, or you don't have the time, or you're older, whatever it is, it's just going to get more of that later. So I would say just do yourself a favor and trust that, you know, if you know what it is now, now is the time to jump on it.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good. Courage.
Courage.
Number one, courage.
Courage, yes.
Courage. Number two.
Number two. So number two is, sounds obvious, but it's taking action. So, and I had to do it there because when you're in your 30s or early 40s, or, you know, just, you know, 30s are like what seems to be like the decade where you're in the middle of your thing, you know, family life, your career. Most of my clients are like either at the height of their career, they're married, or they're starting something big. So it's so easy to get caught up in those things and feel like you don't have the time to dedicate to this thing, to this project of reinventing yourself. You know, or to take on a new career, or to, whether it's to like a fitness goal that you have. But, I would say that, you know, if this is the most important thing, you'll find a way to prioritize it. And what I would say is that, you know, sometimes you look at this project like as a big pie, and you're like, I don't know, I'm going to eat the whole thing. Well, you don't. What you do is you cut it up into little pieces. And you save some of it for later, maybe for, you know, the next day, and you get a little bit now, right? That's what you would do with a pie. You don't eat the whole, at least I don't advise it that you do.
Like, oh. No, I'm tracking. You eat three pieces now, and then you save the other three pieces for later after you're watching Netflix.
Okay, so if I have a fitness goal, I eat an entire pie. Am I doing it right?
Incorrect.
Oh, okay.
That's not two. Right.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah, at Thanksgiving, I've been guilty of doing the same. But
no, that's so good because you look at the whole thing and think, I can't eat the whole pie right now, so I don't even want to try.
Yeah, so I might as well not start because I'm overwhelmed. There's no way. I don't have the money to invest this. And the biggest one, I don't have the time because I have to be there for the kids. Or most of us work full time. And so it's like, how the heck am I going to make time for this new person, this new idea, this new goal that I have? So, yeah. And what I encourage, a lot of my clients and followers, and by the way, most of my clients are in some sort of transition. They're transitioning from career to family life. They want to find love. They want to embark on motherhood, or the other way around. They have their family life together. They have the great home, but they're not fulfilled professionally. And they want to find, like, what is my thing? What is my thing? What is, like, I am more than a mom. I'm more than a provider. I'm more than a caretaker. I want to have my own whatever, you know, maybe it's a side business you want to start. And so what I tell them is that you look at the whole thing. Let's say that it's a starting a business, and let's figure out how long it's going to take. Maybe it's going to take you 5 years like it took me. So then we have to break it down to, you know, if you look at the end goal in 5 years, you want to have this amazing business, then we work backwards. You know, where do you want to be in 3 years? Where do you want to be in 2 years? And then let's work on in 6 months goal. What about in a month? And then all the way to, on a daily, weekly basis, what can you do now? Like small action steps to get you a little closer to that goal.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
I love action steps.
Look at where you want to end and then work backwards to figure out the steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
One piece of pie at a time.
Yeah, yeah, because as an example, when I, you know, 5 years ago, I had just gotten married and gotten my MBA. The same year I got my MBA, I got married, and then came back from honeymoon, I was pregnant.
Oh, my.
And then I was doing interviews thinking I was going to go back to the corporate world. And I decided that there's no way, you know, I'm going to have a child. And I, you know, this is the time to reevaluate, you know, what I really, really want to do, because I'm bringing some, you know, a baby, a child into this world who's going to be looking up to me. And then what I decided after that was that, you know, I took 3 months off. I basically stopped all interviews, decided not going to go to corporate, gave myself time to figure out, like, I think I want to be an entrepreneur. Both my parents were, or are. And, that, you know, in 5 years out, this is where I want to be. And just basically, you know, what credentials do I need? And took that year of my pregnancy to map out everything that I needed to do to be where I want to be in 5 years. And when my daughter was 4 months old is when I launched the business.
Whoops.
Wow.
So I spent an entire year really working on that and creating realistic scenarios and realistic timelines for what I want to be, because if I didn't have that, it's really easy to get lost in the like dreaming and the planning and the like, oh my God, this would be so nice to have, and never taking any action, right?
Right. And also, I think something really good that you said is that it took you that long to even launch it, where I think in the days of instant gratification that women maybe who want to do their own thing or a side business or a blog or a full-time business, they're like, wait a minute, I don't have 300,000 followers on Instagram and like this big booming business and I, you know, gave myself 3 whole months.
Right.
And then they're like, I can't do this anymore, and then quit. But to give yourself the time and the planning and the space to for it to build. Because when you hear successful people, it never usually happened overnight. Unless they were on a reality television show, I guess.
Yeah, Shaylee, that's a really good point, because you know, nowadays, you know, we do see a lot of people who are like making so much money. They have like 100,000 followers. Oh my God. Like, you know, like I got it going on. And you know, we don't see the failed attempts and how many businesses went before that or what else went bust. You just see like all the glamorous things. And, you know, having come from the business world and I was, you know, a business analyst first and then a business consultant. So I really knew what it takes to launch a successful business. And it's not a cakewalk. I mean, there's so much, like even the people that you see on social media that just look cute and whatever, those people are busting their butt behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. They're just not telling me that. So, you know, but the point being is that I think that if you know what is it that you want to have, where you want to be, you don't have to try to do everything overnight and be like those successful people who have arrived. You just have to take small action plans. And over time, those little action steps add up to big results. Right.
Right. Mm. Right. And I think even looking at it, like there's not a right or wrong of some women are home with their kids and family and think they have everything they want, and then all of a sudden wake up and think, no, I want a thing because my kids are going to go off to college, and then I'm here without a thing. And then on the flip side of that, and you're like a perfect mix of the two, because you were kind of like, I want both. Right. I want it all. I want it all, and I can do that. It's just going to take my 5 year really, really dedicated action steps that you've done beautifully.
Yeah, well done. I want to know number three.
Okay, number three. And that one is, you know, we're kind of been touching on a little bit on it, but that you're going to need time, ladies. You're going to need time because kind of what you were saying, Shirley, earlier is like, oh, you know, you see what needs to be done and how long it's going to take you. And then you see all the people who are like doing, you know, well and successful. And you're like, I don't know. I don't have time and I don't have what it takes. And it's going to take too long. So then I might as well not start. Right. I mean, like that happens all the time. So I'm going to say that give yourself a realistic timeline, because it's going, whatever worth having is worth being patient for and worth building for, worth like just taking your time to do it right the first time and not trying to like, you know, rush through it and then crash and burn, which by the way, I see a lot of, you know, when I was in business consulting, a lot of businesses came to me after something had gone wrong because they tried to move too fast and tried to buy too much too fast.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that, you know, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom who have kids, and a lot of women in their 30s do. Or if you work full time and you're trying to transition to this new person, new business, new whatever that is it that you want to be, it's going to take longer than you think it's going to take. So if you think it's going to take you 3 years, it's probably going to take 3 to 5 more. And that's okay, because once you get there, you know, those extra year, extra 2 years, you're not really gonna be, you know, it's not gonna matter all that much, because this is your dream. This is the new healthy person that you've become. This is the business that you wanted to launch. This is, you know, you've met the right person. You've created this amazing relationship. Whatever it is, take your time to do it and enjoy the process along the way. So yeah, that whole concept of overnight success, like it's just, I don't know. I think that it's kind of like a myth, and I'm going to say there are probably a minority of people, honestly, who do become overnight success. Some of them are celebrities, but for the vast majority of us, it takes a lot of patience, a lot of faith, a lot of planning, and, you know, and a lot of starting over. Sometimes you're going to take the longer route. You're going to take sharp turns. You're going to take detours along the way. In my case, you know, I started out as a wellness coach, got my wellness certification coach, and now I'm a confidence, you know, coach and doing speaking. I mean, you know, there are some elements that I still do, but my business has really evolved in the last 5 years. And did I even conceive of it? This is what I would be doing? No, not really. You know, I mean, did I think I would be styling corporate women to meet their, you know, dream, you know, mates? I mean, all these things that happen. No, not really. But I became a mom, fell in love, started my business, all these things happen, and suddenly I'm in the position to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So things will happen. Where you started is not going to be where you end up. Does that make sense?
Yes. Totally. Yeah. If you have this exact idea of what you're wanting, very rarely once you go through the whole plan does end up exactly how you envisioned it at the beginning. But that's part of the beauty of it, and you have to be flexible usually in order for it to be a success, because if you hold your guns too much, usually those are the ones that maybe fizzle along the ways.
And dare I say, did it end up better than you would have guessed?
You know, it maybe, maybe not. I think everybody is different. You would hope that oftentimes that, you know, you have a vision for whatever you want to accomplish, where you want to be. And then by the time you end up there, sometimes it's not where you cracked up it would be. It's like, you know, it isn't, you know, it's like, it was whatever you built it up in your head isn't really how it would, you know, manifest. And so some of us, you know, would abandon that. You start over or you tweak it to whatever you want it to be. And oftentimes, yes, it's better. It's better than you thought, but the journey has been a lot more humbling than you thought it would be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there are resources. Obviously, you know, the number one is that it takes a lot longer than you think it would. The other thing is that you find out that the process is not as glamorous as someone will have you think. Like, you just go get that certification, you work hard, and then boom, you know, you blow up, and then everybody knows who you are, and then you're happy, and then you're, like, bringing in millions.
Uh-huh. And you're getting to, like, dress corporate America, in your free time.
Yeah, so, again, for some people, perhaps, but it just does not work like that. But what I can promise you this is that that is truly something you want to do. You know, if getting healthy and making a lifestyle change was something you've been putting off for so long, if starting a business, you know, as you are raising your kids is has been a dream for you as it has been for me, or, you know, meeting the love of your life and, you know, where you want someone who matches your values, all those things, if it's truly something that comes from the heart, you down once you arrive there, you're gonna look back and appreciate the amount of work that you have to put in and what it took for you to get there, because you appreciate it all the more, right. So if it came that easy, a lot of times it's also gonna fall apart a lot easier.
Oh, that's good.
It's good.
If it came that easy, it's probably gonna fall apart that easy. I like that.
Yeah, because what's involved in the process is a lot of character building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I have a question.
Yes.
I have a couple people who would love to reinvent themselves, but they don't feel like they have a thing to reinvent into yet. Do you have any advice for figuring out what the thing is?
Yeah, you know, that's probably, I would say, the majority of people. And I can say that I was one of them. So when, you know, the reason I went to the corporate world in my 20s is because I was not one of those people who knew what to be. And so the only thing I was like, I might as well go and make money. So I read, and in my 20s, before I got my MBA, I was already making six figures. So at least something I had to show for. And then I got to a point where it just was not fulfilling enough. And so what I'm going to say is that, A, you have to work with someone who knows you really well, or who's trained to support you in figuring out who you are, you know, where you come from, what your values are. So if you can identify what your values are, and then maybe what you enjoyed so many moons ago that you have been so disconnected from, that help you will go back there and say that, hey, I used to enjoy this and that. I used to really love this, but life got in the way and I forgot who I am along the way.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I do is to help you figure out, before, you know, Shaylee got busy with life and kids and paying bills, like, who were you at your core? And you're not going to sit there and figure out on your own, because you have life to do. You just don't have the luxury. But someone who's trained to just say, help you dig in a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's one way, is working with someone to help you figure out. There is a process. There is like sessions that we spend on doing that. And now if the other option is to really, figuring out, like, for me, is like one of the things that helped me was that once I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, it became an urgent thing. I was like, oh my God, I am bringing a daughter into this world who I'm going to have to model for. So I want to tell her, be fierce, be bold, live your life, go after your dreams, be that person that God created you to be. But here I wasn't living that. So it became so urgent that I had to figure out, like, I had a big why, the reason why. I had someone else that was coming into this world that I had to become. You know, so I can honestly tell her to do those things. So I have to do it for myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If they can think of, like, who are they modeling for? Who are the people that are important to them? And what would they want them to be? And then working backwards accordingly and figuring out that, am I living in line with those values? Am I living my dreams? Am I at least in search of it?
Yeah. Oof, that's good. I would say, just to add, like, my personal journey, I was on a roller coaster of health and weight loss. And then I would like to say when I got pregnant with my daughter, but it was really when she started eating table food that it was like, ooh, I've got to be putting good things in her body. And guess what? I've got to be eating those things if I don't want to be a big hypocrite. So I'm trekking with you. I love it.
That's very good.
I made a little note when you said to find the thing.
It's a doodle.
To find the thing, would you say it's where it's the sweet spot of where your values and where and what you enjoy doing, or maybe even what you're good at, where they kind of overlap? The thing that you value overlaps with the thing that you enjoy or the thing that you're good at. That's the thing.
Absolutely. And what you're good at is not always going to be enjoyable. It's not going to always be glamorous, because we all have aspects of what we do that's like, you know, paying the bills or whatever. But I think that if you can find that something that brings you joy, that brings you a sense of purpose most of the time.
Most of the time. Yep.
Most of the time, because most of the time is matter, because all the, you know, there's just, you know, some aspects of life that's just, we have to do. It's just part of it. So yeah, identifies at the intersection of your values and who you used to be and what you used to love at one point. And then, what can we put together there that you know you can make a living out of?
Yeah.
Love it.
Got anything else?
Woo! I love it. Well,
I've got all the questions, but I'm trying to keep it.
I know.
Concise.
I know. We also know. We happen to know that you're also passionate about self-care.
I am. Yes.
Yeah. Can we hear a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a popular buzzword right now. So someone who's like, I keep hearing this, but don't know if I could define it. How do you define it?
Yeah, I think self-care is one of those words that is so vague, so broad, and everybody has different ideas of what it is. So I can only speak self-care from the point of view of my upbringing. And I, quite frankly, I used to think that it was just women from other ethnicities like myself, but I've also found out that this could also be very true for American women as well, especially some of my Southern clients. So I think like I was raised as an example of self-care in a culture where when it comes to women, there is no boundaries. There is no personal boundaries. So you're a woman. Your role is to just basically be like invisible hand. You know, you provide, you do. When people said jump, how high? And you're there to cater to your husband, to your clients, to your kids, whoever. And your needs and your priorities and what makes you happy, that kind of is secondary.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And coming from that, you know, the whole like, you know, I didn't even know what the definition of personal boundaries were, but I think that as I went to corporate and learned to be more assertive, because I was either going to figure this out or kind of burn from this, what I learned is especially for women, one of the commandments of what I call radical self-care is developing strong boundaries. And let me break that down. And, because I think that personal boundaries is kind of like it sounds like luxury, but it's a survival mechanism. So without those, it's easy for people to take advantage of you. So, you know, that's when you feel this bang of guilt all the time. You said no to someone. So, right?
Yeah. Guilty. Yeah.
I feel guilty about feeling guilty about everything.
You feel guilty because we were taught as a society that, you know, you're supposed to be the nice girl. You know, the nice wife, the nice mom, the nice friend. It's like when someone is needing you, you need to be reliable and be available, even if it comes at your own personal cost. And so it's like, and the same rules, by the way, does not apply to men.
Yes. Yeah.
When men said, no, that's absurd.
Right.
When we say that, we're just like, eh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's wrong with her?
What's wrong? We're like, that's not very nice.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest buzzwords is when I was in corporate is that, you know, I work in the energy industry, which is male dominated in Texas. So when I wasn't, you know, I was not a team player. If I, you
a
know,
woman's not a team player if she says no, a man is assertive and strong.
Right.
So I would say that the first one is that you have to be okay with saying no if it doesn't, you know, and you know, if you know, it's you're not gonna say no every time, but you know, if it doesn't match your values, if you're not available, you have other commitments, and you know, you and if it comes at your own personal happiness and value, it is okay,
right?
Like to say that often and mean it, and then. And then, well, and then if it makes sense to say yes, then, you know, then you do. So it doesn't mean that you're not nice or people are going to hate you, never talk to you. It's okay to, even the people who are the closest to you, you know, your kids, your family, your husband, whatever, you know, even they have to learn that no means no. No, you're not available. No, you're not going to cook two different meals because they didn't like it. So
that's good.
And so I think that when you're happy, when you're assertive, you're also setting examples for those around you, that you give them permission to be the same way. Otherwise what happens is you build up this resentment, so you burned out, and then you lash out or you just lose your way, you know, your way, you lose yourself along the way because you had never had the courage to just say, no, it's not okay for you to say that to me. No, I'm not available to do that. No, actually, I'd rather not, whatever it is. No, I, you know, I'm not gonna volunteer at that PTA, you know, whatever. It's just like, I don't know, a lot of my clients just struggle with this personal boundaries thing. And you know, and I have to say that for those people who've known you the longest, they're not going to like it initially because you've just introduced this new person and they're going to be like, you know, they're going to give you silent treatment, not talk to you, but you know, slowly you have to kind of stick to it and people will respect it. And part of the whole why it is a personal care is that when you say no to those things that don't matter as much, those things that don't align with the person that you are, you just create so much space for the things that do.
Yeah. That's good. That's so good. And coming from someone who says yes a lot to everything that sometimes I don't want to do, it's, you feel in your inside like, I'm being such a wonderful person because I'm saying yes to all of these things. But then what happens is you're actually not, because you become not as fun to be around because you're doing all the stuff you don't want to do. So it actually isn't like fulfilling any of the things you're trying to do by doing that. You're not as great on the inside emotionally or whatever because you're doing too many things. You're also not as pleasant to be around while you're doing all of these things you said yes to. And yeah, you're kind of teaching people how to treat you and how to ask for things. So yeah. I hear you.
It's easier said and done than sometimes, but I'll tell you, I've worked with people who have never said no in their lives, and to see, and it's weird. They're almost all women. It does. You're right. You're doing those people a disservice by not being authentically yourself. And by, you're doing also what I would call half-ass job of whatever it is that you're doing, because you're like resenting it, you know, as you're doing
it. Yeah, right. Yeah.
This commitment that you don't want to be at.
Yeah.
So yes, I really like, you know, if I could just, you know, make this easier, this whole, you know, personal boundaries thing, just start small. Like if you've never said no to somebody or to a thing, like say that like this week, say it one time and kind of get a feel for it. And
they're going to be like, I like it. No to everything. But it is true. I built it up in my mind. My husband's much better at saying no to things. And the first time he was like, Shaylee, say No, like you can't do it. It was a time when physically there was no way I could say yes. It was something that I wanted to make work and like there was no way. And I thought my world was crumbling. And I just remember, and it's always the people who have no problem saying no that makes the people who can't say no feel like they have to say yes. And so the first time I was like, I can't. And I didn't give an excuse and I didn't give 7 reasons why I would have or I should have or I can find someone else to do it, but I can't do it. And I just said no. And they were like, okay, great, thanks. And I was like, wait, that's all I had to do this whole time is just say no. And then they took it fine because they say no to people. Yeah. And it was just such a like, what have I been so worried about?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, no is a complete sentence, right?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Write that down.
I'm going to make a meme out of that.
One of these days when we have our t-shirt line together,
we'll credit you with that one.
We won't credit you. We'll just say we'll do a dash and put, quote, Shaylee and Katie.
No.
I'm just kidding.
We got to credit T on that. T will say no.
No is a complete sentence. Yeah.
I'm not the first person to say it, so go right ahead. It really is. Like, you don't have to offer this lengthy explanation as to why. You know, it's okay. Just chill out and it's, yeah.
I know. And you know what? It makes you look more guilty when you're making excuses for something you shouldn't be making excuses for, because it makes it look like you're lying.
You're panicking and mountain lying.
So many details.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
This has
been Shaylee learned kind of how to say no.
With you.
Katie, I don't want to do the podcast with you anymore.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
You have to. Okay, so we are just in time for our segment.
Oh, segment. I feel like she's already kind of jumped into this segment.
We want to see what, just a little taste of what it's like to be coached by
you. We'll call it a tea taste.
Yeah, a tea taste. A taste of tea.
A taste of tea.
Tea time.
Tea time. Oh, I get it.
I call my little sessions, it's really funny, but coffee with tea.
Oh, that's perfect.
A lot of my sessions are like this via FaceTime.
Oh, very cool.
Most of my clients are not in the Bay Area, so... You know, if tea is their thing, that's fine too, but I like coffee. So I said, grab coffee and we're going to have coffee with tea, you know?
I love that.
LaCroix with tea.
LaCroix with tea.
I had to slip it in.
Okay, so we're going to just use Shaylee.
No.
We're going to do Shaylee.
Katie.
You can pick Shaylee or Katie, your choice.
You get to pick which nut you think's harder to crack.
And we're going to do a quick round lifestyle coaching session. So no pressure, but you have like 3 minutes to just fix
our lives.
Just fix us completely.
We're going to do like a little sample of like you and your element.
I say you pick Shaylee.
I say Katie's pretty complicated. She has 3 kids and a lot more issues.
3 kids? Okay. And Katie's been like, kind of been the mega moderator, quieter. So I think
she's been hiding.
First time I've ever been called quiet.
Katie.
Okay, fine.
Hey, Shaylee's been talking a lot more, so I think I'm gonna take Katie.
Okay.
Fix her.
So 3 kids, huh?
3 kids.
Oh, God. How old are they?
Almost 6, almost 4, almost 2.
Almost 2. Oh, wow. So I imagine you're quite busy.
Yeah.
Like, where did the time go? I mean, I have 1 I can barely manage. I don't even know how you do it with 3.
That's where I'm at.
No. When you have more than 1, they start to play with each other.
I don't know. That's what she says.
That's what they said.
And then you just start reading books.
So, Katie, what would you say is, at the moment, you're in the middle of motherhood, what would you say is the biggest challenge at the time that you're struggling with?
I would say, if I'm going to be completely vulnerable, I feel like my relationship with my husband has become a lot about the kids. And so, like, if we ever do get a date night, it's very rare, and we're still kind of talking about the kids. I think if I'm being really honest, my biggest fear is, like, last kid leaves the house for college, and we go, oh, hey, stranger. So, that's my big fear.
Yeah. And you know, and it's a very common fear because, you know, the kids are taking over for a big for the next many years, and then you're caught up, you every day is occupied, and one day you realize, like, oh my God, you know, now we have to reacquaint each other with each other. So what do you, you know, before I even make suggestions, I'm going to say, what do you think you could be doing more to put in the, you know, somewhere in your day or in your weekly schedule to make more time for you and your husband?
Well, funny that you should ask. My love language is quality time. I don't know if you are familiar with that
love language
way of speaking.
Here in Missouri, we have 5 love languages, and one of them's quality time.
Well, my husband and I have read it together.
Okay. You're in. Yeah. So it's not necessarily, my husband's name is Jared. It's not necessarily his top one. So I have to be really assertive about, like, no, I need it. It has to happen. So we've instilled a mandatory makes it sound
mandatory.
Not fun.
No, it just means it's important.
We've instilled a mandatory Wednesday night in-home date night, because if we have to rely on sitters, it won't happen. So it's once the kids go to bed, or even sometimes, like, the last hour that they're up, we're like, go play. Go play in the playroom. But, we call it Wednesday night, and we usually play a board game or cards, and we drink wine, and we aren't allowed devices and meaning phones.
Okay. I didn't know where you're going with devices. Like, computers.
Robots. Shaylee's turning red.
I'm turning red.
This is good. Okay.
I say that I'm sweating every episode. Somewhere I say I'm sweating. I'm sweating right now.
So, and I feel like if we miss one week, that's when I'm like, you're a stranger. Who are you?
It's your night once a week.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a good, I feel like, it, since I'm coaching you real quick.
Yeah.
That's a good one though.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's absolutely, I mean, I will have to agree with Shaylee. I mean, I think that having a consistent, like, weekly thing that you can count on, you know, and I will also say that, you know, if, you know, you have to anticipate the expected. If the kids, some days they're not going to want to sleep on time, whatever, having a backup plan, if you have to have a sitter kind of like on the, you know, available to come in as needed, you have to do that, because I think that one of the most important thing is looking at your weekly date night as important as any other schedule on your calendar, whether it's like the doctor's appointment or taking the kids to school. It's just as important, because, you know, those, you know, you have the home and the family because you guys came together in the first place, and out of that love, you know, the family came. So I think that, you know, that thing that gave you all these things, you have to nurture it, because you don't take it for granted. It could easily fizzle. You know, when you hear those people like, oh, we grew apart.
Right.
They've been growing apart for many, many years. They just didn't know it. And one day they just realized they grew apart, but it actually had been happening for a while.
Right.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And that's when for us, it's the same thing. It's just Friday nights instead of Wednesday. Then my husband is off. He's an emergency room physician, so he's always on call. But on Friday, he put his foot down and he said, that's the one day of the week that I cannot be on call.
Ooh,
good.
And he, on his end, had to negotiate that, because I said that, you know, one of the things that are important to me is that he can at least give me one day a week.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to take it one step further, because, you know, I don't have 3 kids, but I have clients that I coach, like, on the other side of the world. So my work schedule is all over the place. So it's get caught up in that, like, I'm busy and I have a daughter, whatever. I'm going to say finding little things throughout the week to kind of acknowledge each other. You know, it could be that when he wasn't expecting it, one day you make him his favorite breakfast before he sets out for work. Like, I can expect that, you know, so doing something out of the ordinary.
Katie is acting like she has all of these problems, and then she's like, I actually cook Jared his favorite breakfast every morning of my life, and then I send him off, and we have our fun hot date night one time a week, and then we hold hands all the time, but you're still worried?
Well, anyway.
fixed.
Yeah.
You were fixed. No, that's a good one, though. But about, or even, like, a nice little message or, like, hiding a note in the, like, his favorite lunch that you also pack him every day, I'm guessing.
No, I don't.
So, I think you have a rebuttal coming there.
For what? For...
Nothing...
Oh, that I don't need fixing?
No, or just, like, you have the... It's a legitimate question, but I feel like you're doing all of the right things.
I'm doing the things. It's just we're tired. We're just tired. Sometimes on Wednesday, even, we're, like... It feels like we're forcing it. Like, we're, like, don't you just want to watch TV and go to bed? Because we're just tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? That's okay. You know, we do that sometimes, but I think that even... You underestimate the value of just being together.
Yeah.
And falling asleep together. I think the most important is that you guys have committed to that day. So if you fall asleep, like, halfway through a movie, holding hands, then that's okay.
Yeah.
You have to finish that movie or, like, finish that board game. I think that the point of being the bigger picture is that you're honoring that evening.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And it's still time together, even if you're both tired and vegging out and you're just going to, like, snuggle and watch Dateline NBC and go to sleep.
that sounds specific, Shaylee.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I would say that would...
4 nights a week.
That's good to hear, because I tend to put pressure on myself like, it has to be, like, we get one night. It's got to be significant.
And Katie, your movie theater brain, Katie, to where it needs to be, like, Fireflies, like, Dancing Under the Stars.
Exactly.
And then, like, the credits roll. It's not, like, the... Yeah, I get it, to where... You're flipping through Instagram, and you're like, he wrote her a song?
Right.
Like, you didn't do that on our Wednesday night hangout. We fell asleep halfway through Monopoly.
Yeah.
So, I think that's good.
If you, with three kids, you're still managing to come together once a week, most weeks, you're ahead of the curve.
You're ahead of the curve.
Thanks, T.
Because it's, you know, you really are, being realistically, because I have some clients who I'm trying to get to do that, like, you know, once a month, because one of the partners is always traveling. I mean, if you add, in addition to kids and busy careers, travel, one of the partners, it gets even more complicated.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
So, at least you guys are able to come together in the same household.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only other thing, that I think Shaylee's right, you're doing a lot of good things, but I would say that every couple months or once a quarter, I would say pack up the kids and just, like, go somewhere for, like, overnight or for a day with the kids. Have the kids do something nice for you guys, you know?
T said.
Cook us breakfast. T said.
Yeah. Make us breakfast. House for us as
a clean house. That'll be great. Shove little workers.
I love it.
When DFS comes, she's gonna be like, a life coach and told me that this is what I needed to do.
No. I'm gonna end by saying that I think you should give yourself a lot more credit than you already are.
Yeah.
Thanks, T.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Should I be crying at the end?
Probably. She's tearing up. She is. That's sweet.
She's good, everyone.
As women, we're a lot more harder than ourselves than we are on other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I say this because I see this all the time. I exclusively coach women, so this is a very common thing. I don't know. You would be a lot more nicer on Shaylee if she's saying this thing than you are on your own right now.
That's true. That's a good point.
I agree. Yeah.
Good point.
Man, I know you're a professional with all of these degrees. But I was a little bit worried, like, what if we throw this on her and she's kind of like, ugh. And then I literally said, we're both going to be crying by the end of the coaching segment. And we got a little teary.
Thanks, T.
Yeah, that was perfect segment.
I feel like I want to hug it out, but I can't.
But you can't because we're on FaceTime. That was the most adorable hug you guys have ever not seen.
Darn it, podcast.
Oh, podcast.
Okay, thank you, T. Thank you so much. Where can people find you?
So they can find me on my website, which is belladivalifestyle.com. But I'm most active on Instagram, which is how we found each other.
Found
you.
Yeah. Well, you found us, and you were, like, commenting some stuff, and then I creeped over on your page and was like, this chick is amazing, and then stalked you for a little bit. Yeah.
This has been so much fun. So yeah, I'm on Instagram, Bella Diva Life.
We'll tag you. We'll put your website and blog and Instagram handle and everything on the show notes. And then also when we post about this in the Instagram, we'll make sure to tag you so people can find you on there. Because we haven't talked a lot about your adorable daughter.
Oh,
but she has,
she's so cute.
The cutest daughter, and they're the cutest little family, and they had the most beautiful wedding. Mm-hmm. And they wear matching outfits. And
you gotta
were
see
you
it.
Just on vacation, or now that I know you live in San Francisco, that might just be everyday life.
It's probably every day.
But they're frolicking on the beach. There's giveaways. There's a lot of swinging and running and splashing. It's like, anyway, it makes me want to like be you in a healthy way.
Well, I think you guys are fabulous, and I'm really looking forward to sharing you guys with my followers and with my readers. So as soon as the podcast is ready, let me know so I could post about it.
Okay, we will.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies.
Now we're off air. Only okay. We're not live, but I'm going to take a really dorky picture.
Picture in picture.
Picture in a picture. I'm going to try to make it where we're side by side if I can.
Goodness. Okay, I wish I knew we were.
You look so good.
You look so good.
Don't you even.
It's distracting how good you look.
Okay, yeah. Everyone smile.
Thank you for listening to Shaylee and Katie the podcast. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram at Shaylee and Katie. And if you want to be our best friend, you can leave us a review and iTunes. 5, 6, 7, 8.